You know, folks, it's an interesting thing, this life that I try to live. People are constantly coming up to me, they're calling me during the week and asking me questions about Scripture, about the Bible. And what so many don't realize is when you tell me what you believe, then I know a lot more about you. I've always wondered why I had such a craving to be in the book. 50 years anyhow, before I was called to preach, I was so interested in the book. And there's so many different ideas about what the book says. And we get those ideas from so many different places. So I want to talk about the book this morning and the way I feel about it, way it make it better, maybe easier for you to understand where I come from, where I come from. So the title this morning is The Bible. And I will hope I can show you some things about the Bible that maybe you don't already know. The question is asked, where are we? Where do you and I fit in the church at Briarfield? Where do we fit in the whole scope of things in the world? What about the people around us? The polls that have been taken in the United States say that 76% of Americans say they are Christians. 76% of the people in America say they are Christians. But listen to this. Only 70% of these people who say they are Christians believe in hell. Now, how could you be a Christian without knowing about hell and believing that there is a hell? Only 20% attend at least one church service in a week. 20%, one in five. One in four, 24% of the people who profess to be Christians also admit they've never read the Bible. One in four people in the United States who say, I am born again, I'm a Christian, have never even read the Bible. That causes me to wonder if they really know what a Christian is. I can tell you one thing. I've been taught ever since I've been a little kid that a Christian is a nice person. But now I learned that I'm told to be like Jesus. And Jesus was not a nice person. He would rake you over the coals about salvation. And when you walked off aggravated or sorrowful or mad, He didn't chase after you either. He gave you one chance to make a move. And if you didn't make a move, He was ready for you to go on back wherever you come from, and He'd catch you next time. Only 5%, one in 20 people tithe, give to the church. Only 28% of those people believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Only 64% of the people believe that Jesus rose from the dead. You cannot be saved without believing in the resurrection. It's impossible. That is the one necessary part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 24, there's no reason to turn there, in verse 35, because I'm going to read it to you. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will live forever." You want to know the reason that the Bible is still the largest selling book in the world and has been ever since it's been on print? Is because it wasn't written by men. They held the pen, but God wrote the Bible. And he said, "I intend for it." There have been world leaders who made a commitment to themselves that when they took their rule, their kingship, or whatever they happened to be in their position, they promised themselves that before they got out of office, they would do away with the Bible. And nobody's been able to do it. John 17, chapter 17, verse 17 says, "Thy word is truth." Now we'll get in a little bit more into that in just a minute, by the way I look at it. But the Bible says it all came from the same place. So in my mind, I've either got to take everything in here or none of it, because it all came from the same place. It's not like a cafeteria. I can't get a little of this and a little of that and disregard all the rest of it. There's no way I can do that. But what I have learned in my years of looking at this thing, that everything that it teaches is taught all the way through it. People say there are contradictions in the Bible. Not if you are a born-again believer and read it, there's not. Those contradictions come up from people who do not know Jesus Christ. Or if you study what you think is a contradiction enough, you'll see that both things are saying the same thing. It's an interesting point, and most of you have heard me say it 100 times. One of my favorite verses in this book is when Jesus was standing in Pilate's hall in front of Pilate. He made this statement. "To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." That was his main purpose in coming to the world, to make sure that we know what the truth is. And then he finishes the verse by saying, "And the people of the truth hear my voice." So there are a lot of people who don't hear him because they're not included in that group. There are 66 books in the Bible. There were 40 authors. 40 men wrote the Bible. It took them 1,500 years to do it. That's a long time. In 1400 B.C., before Christ, Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. In 400 B.C., before Christ, Malachi wrote the last book in the Old Testament. The Old Testament was finished 400 years before Jesus came on the scene. In AD, after Christ, in 95 AD, John wrote the last book of the Bible, and the New Testament called Revelations. 94 years after Christ came on the scene, and about a little less than 60 years after he died. So see, there was a time after Jesus died, came back 40 days, and then left and ascended into heaven. There's about 60 years that even the last book in the Bible wasn't even written. They didn't have a Bible. The only thing people had was word of mouth, passing it down from one person to the other. They had the Old Testament, but the only people who ever read the Old Testament and had copies of it were Jews. It was read in the temple. The average person walking the street had never seen a Bible. He wasn't allowed in the Jewish temple. So when Jesus came along with this mystery, this new thing that's called the church, they had no clue what that was. And I'm here to tell you, these religions, these denominations that claim that they went back 1600 years before Jesus, they say the church is that old. No. The church first happened 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Peter preached, 3,000 people were saved. That is the first church. Before that, there was no such thing as the church. That we belong to today. Not this church, not this building, but the church. Everybody in the world that is born again, that is the church. This is a church building. This happens to be where the church meets, or a part of it. The Bible says of itself that the Holy Spirit was in charge of what was put in the Bible. You know, I hope you know by now, that the Holy Spirit works for Jesus Christ. He is in every one of us, but he gets his orders from Jesus. He was responsible for the words that were put in this book under the supervision of Jesus Christ. Now, let me explain something personal. People talk about, well, you can't believe everything in there. Why not? That's what I asked, because I do. I mean, I had an uncle that was a Baptist preacher that would like to get in arguments with people. And he told me you couldn't believe all the Bible because Jesus said, I'm a door. He said, everybody's got any common sense. No, Jesus wasn't no door. Well, we know what Jesus was talking about. He says, I'm the way. I'm the door in which you can get to God. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. He wasn't calling himself a door, a wooden door, or whatever. So I believe that every single word in this book can be believed. There's not an error in here. The Holy Spirit saw to that it wasn't. But that is in the original thing that was written. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. In order for me to believe, I've got to understand words. What did they say? What did Jesus say? He spoke in Greek and Aramaic, and I don't know either one, but I've got dictionaries to tell me what words he used, and I can study him and see what he's talking about. Now see, here's something that I'm saying to you. The question is asked, what about errors in the Bible? Well, you know, you've got all these translators, all these people taking the Bible and writing their own version of it. Well, let me tell you about this. There is a Greek word that is used in the Bible that the Bible is written from. The King James Version is written from the Greek version. And the Greek word phobio, P-H-O-B-E-O, is the Greek word for fear or terror. The Greek word phobio, fear and terror, is used in the Bible 97 times. 97 times it is translated fear and terror. One place it's translated amazement. But 97 times out of 98, or 96 times out of 97, it's translated fear or terror. Now I'd like to show you something. In the 5th chapter of Ephesians, in verse 33. Fifth chapter of Ephesians, verse 33. I consider this the key verse in the Bible for married people, because it is a commandment from God to people who are married. And here's what it says. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. We're commanded by Jesus to do that. We love our wives as much as we love ourselves. And according to my sermon a couple of weeks ago, I think if we're going to love our neighbor, we got to love them even more than we love ourselves. Love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she phobio her husband. See what it says? What's the word used in your book? Respect. Respect or reverence? Respect. Okay. That word is phobio. 97 times it had been used in the Bible as terror and fear. That one time is the only time it's translated in the whole Bible as anything else. But I know that. I know that when you talk about that scripture that has been translated from the Greek, in the original Greek, Jesus said, I would that she fear her husband. But the translators changed it. Now, why did they change it? I don't know. Why is it not in the original language? I don't know. But that's okay for me, because I know that. I've researched it and I know what it says. So then in my mind, a woman who is supposed to respect her husband has got a little bit of fear in there too, you see. I think probably fear from God that she doesn't do that. It doesn't say she's supposed to fear her husband. It says she's supposed to respect her husband and reverence her husband. But there's a little bit of fear in there too, and I think it's probably because of the place he stands with God. But I don't know that. But because I know the words, I can speculate on it. By the way, the Greek word for respect or reverence is entropo. That word was not used there. That word that was used there is phobio. Why they would change it to another Greek word that is in, that was, would have, there's another Greek word for reverence, it's entropo. But that wasn't the word that was used, it was phobio, but they changed it. Now, I laugh about it sometimes when people have asked me, when I've showed them this, why do you think they changed it? Well, I said, probably those translators went home to their wives that night, and she had a good supper laid out for them. And she said, well, what did y'all do today, you translators? Well, we translated Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Oh, well, sure enough, how'd you translate it? Well, we translated in that a man's supposed to love his wife even as himself, and she's supposed to be scared of her husband. She's supposed to be a fear of her husband. Do what? And they went back the next day and changed it. That's what I guess, and I laugh about that. But, I mean, it's a serious thing, and I really don't know why they did. But what my point is this. You can trust the Bible if you have that much information about it. If you know that much about the words that they used to express themselves on this point of Bible doctrine. Now let me make you understand something. The standard of what I believe cannot be me. I'm not going to argue with you about Scripture. Because I believe this, I'm not going to tell you that's what you got to believe. But see, I'm no different than the rest of you. I've been called to explain the Bible to you, and God has given me help to do that. But the Holy Spirit is the one that says, this is the way you ought to believe that. I can't teach you anything. All I can do is bring it to your mind. And then the Holy Spirit tells you, you believe this or you don't believe this. Because I have the same trouble trying to understand Scripture as anybody else does, except I'm called to preach. So God gives me some help with it. But still, I don't understand it all. There's places that I've refused to teach because God's never taught it to me. And I'm not going to teach something I don't know. With that in mind, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. While you're turning there, I want to remind you of a scripture in another place. It comes from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says this. There are a lot of us people, who have more heart than others do. Let's face it. I don't have as much heart as a lot of other people do. I don't have as much love. I don't operate with as much emotion as other people do. Our ladies usually, as a rule, operate with more emotion than the men folks do. But here is a problem that we've all got to be careful of. When I say, this has happened to me, and so this is the reason I believe this, I can't do that. I can't do that. But wait a minute, it happened to you. Yes, it did. But how do I know why it happened? You see my point? I'm no different than anybody else. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's wicked and a liar. Who can know it? So when it's happened to me, I remember one time back in the day, I was in my late 20s probably, going to a horse show on Sunday morning, and a guy came on one of the Christian stations talking about reincarnation. And he said that he had died 7 times and come back to life as somebody else, and he was going to share with us what he saw when he was between one life and another life. And I got to thinking, man, this guy says he's a Christian, he knows Jesus Christ. Maybe I ought to believe in that too. And I'm riding along, and he gets through with his talk, and he goes off the radio. I was going to a horse show in Rainbow City, I remember that. And I was driving along, pulling a trailer, load of horses. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what about this? And you know what the Holy Spirit's job is? His responsibility is to bring to our remembrance everything Jesus said. Everything's in this book. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to remind me of what it said. And the Holy Spirit says, well, you remember what the book says. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. You don't die seven times. I don't care what this guy says. I don't care that this guy says he's a Christian. He's mistaken, because people don't die but once. And all these books that are written about when I died and I came back and here's what I saw and all this kind of, that little boy that wrote that book. No, people don't die but one time, folks. My book tells me that. So if you think you've been dead seven times, you're wrong. And when you tell me I've died and come back, well, I go to my book, I research that, and when I find out the book says something different, I don't believe you, I believe the book. Because I'm going to tell you something. I haven't counted the people in the room this morning, but for every person in this room, there's a little bit different belief. Everybody got a little bit different. I can't believe them all. I can't believe but one way. And I choose to believe the book. Now look what it says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Now listen to this. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. In other words, you and I don't know it. We don't know nothing about what he's fixing to tell us, because it's never come into our heart. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We don't know what's in the future. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. But God hath revealed them, what them, the things that are going to happen to us. Unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's the Holy Spirit that each one of us has got inside of us. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Nobody can know exactly what's going on in God's mind. There's no way. And if you've ever asked God why, you find out he's not real reliable about telling you why he does things. He just does them. And I got to live with it. Now we have received, in verse 12, the spirit of the world, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. All born again people have received the Holy Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's the way we understand what God has given to each one of us. It's through the Spirit that he put inside of us that tells us, you believe this because this is truth. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Now there's an interesting point right there. When Paul was struck down on the road and suddenly found out that he was born again, he was saved, he uses an expression, when God revealed his Son to me. When God told Paul about Jesus, Paul's first comment was, I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't go and talk to anybody who was born again. I knew I was, but I didn't go talk to anybody like that. I went in the desert and stayed 3 years, and Jesus taught me what I needed to know. He was taught by Jesus personally. But he didn't go and ask anybody else. And I believe the reason he did that is because men's voice is so unreliable. Who do you know who you're listening to? How do you know what goes on in the heart of the man who is telling you what this Bible says? You don't know what's in my heart. That's the reason we've all got to have the Holy Spirit to say what He's saying is true. That's the reason my ministry is to take you to this book, show you what it says, then give you the definition of any of the words that might be ambiguous. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We take the book and we compare what it says with what other people are saying. And some of them might be right, some folk may be right, and a lot of them are wrong. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, the unsaved man, the man who does not have Jesus through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the man who's never been saved, there's no way he can understand spiritual things. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Okay. Verse 16, look at this. I've got this surrounded in my Bible with blue magic marker. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Who do you think, let me put it this way, who would you think I am? If I tried to tell the Lord, no, Lord, you don't mean this. This is the way you're supposed to believe, God. I'd be the biggest fool in the world to do that, because he knows everything. I can't tell him what to believe. I have to listen to him for him to tell me what I'm supposed to believe. Neither can he know them. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Nobody. Then look what it says. But we have the mind of Christ. Hey, we got the second best thing. We don't have God's mind, but we got the mind of Jesus Christ. We're in our way. We are going there. What did he say? That we might conform to the image of Christ. We're in the process of being more like Jesus Christ every day. And he gave us his divine mind. Let this mind be in you that also was in Christ Jesus. So now we're getting his mind. And his mind was a replica of God's. Everything Jesus believed was what God told him to believe. Now let me say this, as we're shutting this down. This book is the only record we have of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the only book that tells us about God. Now, Bible bookstores are full of books. I used to have over 100 of them in my library, and little by little, I gave them away to other people. I said, I'm not recommending this book, but if you want to read it, here it is, you can have it. Because I found out there were things in every one of those books that those men who wrote those books wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. They wouldn't try to explain it. So I don't need to know what they know. I go back to my book now and let the Holy Spirit tell me this is what you're supposed to believe. Because I know it's truth. I understand that the writing of anybody else but Jesus' book might be wrong. And I don't want to believe it. Second Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14 says that Satan's angels, the demons of this world, can transform themselves into angels of light. You know what he's talking about? Preachers. The demons can change themselves into the nicest guy you've ever seen, good looking, dressed nice, smells good, and stands in front of you telling you what God said you're supposed to think. Even the demons can do that. Folks, I've learned I've got to be particular who I listen to, unless I want some error in my life, in my belief system. So then, what about the errors? People bring up the errors all the time. You know, they said that when they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls and all that information about the Bible, the Dead Sea Scrolls not only had copies of the Bible, the Old Testament in there, it also had all kinds of information in those big clay pots written on parchment paper and rolled up. It had stuff in there about the farming and how to farm and how to raise figs and all kinds of agriculture and all kind of cattle and sheep and stuff like that. And they learned a lot of the words of the Bible that they didn't know the meaning of because they had written using that word for something else. But they said that not one single main doctrine of the Bible was changed that much. Everybody talks about the Dead Sea Scrolls. Didn't change one important factor of the Bible. It just gave them the definition of some words that up until that time they didn't have. God has promised to teach you and me correctly. He's promised to do that. Men tend to be fallible. Men tend to have errors. You've got to be so careful when you're listening to a man, because if he starts pulling stuff out of his brain, it's liable to be wrong. God said in the Old Testament that those prophets that tell you what I am telling them to tell you, I've told them, if you tell one more single word that I didn't tell you to tell those people, I'm going to kill you. We'd have better weather now, better knowledge of the weather, if all our weather prognosticators had to predict the weather based on that kind of a situation. So I have heard all kind of expressions. The preacher we used to have was such a nice guy, and he always said this, okay, but I can't go back and research him. My grandma was a saintly lady, and for all her life, she talked about this right here. And I believe it because grandma taught it to me. But you see, the Bible says grandma wasn't inspired. You don't know whether she had it right or not. But you got to understand, they try so hard, this person trying so hard to get it right. But you remember the old saying that the road to hell is paved with good intention? There are people who have every intention of being just exactly the truthful person that God intends for them to be, but they're wrong. And I ran across this. I just wanted to throw this in there because in a discussion with the Bible, because I've had so many people disregard this statement. They say, I don't believe my God would do that. That is usually the terminology that they use. But in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 4, it says, the Lord hath made all things for himself. All right? We learned that. Jesus created everything that was created, and it says he created for himself. Okay, I know that in other places. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. God created the sinner for hell with that intent. A lot of people don't want to believe that about their God. But he said he did. The Bible, folks, is the only thing we have. We know positively, without exception, is true. That's the only thing. We can't quote any other book, I don't care how many bestsellers you read, and get an idea from. They're not inspired. The Holy Spirit of God, under the direction of Jesus, took 40 men over 1,500 years and wrote what Jesus wanted to write down in this book right here. And that's where I'm going to get my information. And I'm scared to death of information that comes from anywhere else. Because I've been in Sunday school since I was 1 year old. I have been taught a lot of stuff that as I study the scriptures now, I find out that it was taught to me in error. The people who told me that's the way it wasn't the way it is. And I've had to change so many of the things I was taught in church by people who were doing all they could to try to teach me right, who cared for me, who loved me, and tried to teach me right, but they didn't teach me right. And I'm finding out now that it was not right. So what I'm saying, in the 17th chapter of John, Jesus is praying back to the Heavenly Father, and he says, Lord, I pray that everybody who has been has had Jesus revealed to them by you and they accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, I pray that every one of them think just like you and I do. That is the goal for Jesus, for us. And he prayed that that would happen, that we'd all believe the same way. And it's quite evident we're not there yet. But that is Jesus' goal for each one of us. Now I've learned that if I'm honest, when I prove something that I do not believe is what the Bible says, I got to change my belief. Because I want it to be what this book says it is instead of what somebody told me. So that's where I'm coming from. That's the reason I say the things that I say. That's the reason I say the things like I say them. And I'm not about to share something with you under the punishment of death unless I know that it's what God tells me to tell you. And I still know a lot of things who were taught to me by a lot of people who had good intentions and they loved me. They wanted me to know. But they didn't know themselves, so they couldn't tell me. So I admonish you in the words of our saintly, finally, Saint Peter, who said, try every spirit. Think about everything you hear to make sure that they are of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the knowledge that somebody might have translated something differently and why we don't know. But I thank you for showing me some of those places where they've been changed, so that I'll have an idea of what you said to start with. teach us to rely on our scriptures because they are truth according to Jesus. In His name I pray. Amen.